The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
And we're back here to analyze this. Some programming notes for tonight on WTJX, Monday, April 22nd. It starts with the PBS News Hour from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. And then, of course, comes with the territory with the one only Leslie Cummings Young from 8 to 9. American Experience. And this is a two-hour edition, right? Explore the 1970s Love Canal tragedy, one of the worst environmental disasters in U.S. history. And then I'm Emporium Company from 11 to midnight. Okay, so PBS News Hour at 7, comes with a territory at 8, American Experience 2-hour edition at 9, and then at 11 o'clock, I'm Emporium Company. On Mondays, we do the table talk. I want to do a quorum call now. I want to give a shout out to the one and only Doug Skoll, the majority leader, the 30th legislature, served 3 terms out of the district, St. Thomas, St. John. Good morning. The handle.
Present, please.
That's why talking about George Goodwin. It's the late George Goodwin lives forever. From St. Croix, out of the, originally out of the West, hanging out in Canaan Ridge. Generation done, ain't done, according to the one and only Ronnie Russell. 4-term senator out of the District of St. Croix and Senate President of the 29th Legislature. Good morning, Mr. President. How are you?
Present. Present, always.
I like that one. And of course, Rocky Laybird is excused. He texted me to let me know, Mr. President, can't make it today. Please mark me down as excused. So, Madam Clerk, whoever you're there, imaginary clerk, please record Senator Laybird out of St. John. 8-term senator, twice Senate president. Número uno en la papeleta. Absent this
Neville,
morning.
Don't forget the name I wrote in St. John after he.
That's right. That's right. That's right. The road. So we got a handle and we got a road. Ronnie, me and you, we go get something for ourselves in Miami. Yeah. Car. That man styling off on the boys, you know what I'm saying? So
Ronnie's a track star musician.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. No. We got Tom Freeze. I'm glad you went there. The Olympian.
The Olympian.
I like that. I will settle for being a mouthpiece. Okay.
You're sanguine is in your blood.
You better believe it, you know what I'm saying? So it's all good. You know, gentlemen, we got this situation going on in New York, where the former president is going through a trial, and we had the most extreme, right, of realities, negative potentials happen. Where a man set himself on fire out of protest, right? And ultimately died later that evening. I think it happened on Friday, right? Where, hold on, that one, get his name. Max Azzarello, right? The man who set himself on fire, he died later on that day. And he was with a sign, right, across the street. And his thing wasn't anti-Trump or pro-Trump. Or not. He said Trump is with Biden and they're about to fascist coup us. So in effect, basically he's saying that, let me the same Ronnie Russell, right? But even if that's the case, the most extreme result of pouring yourself with lighter fluid and lighting yourself on fire, this is crazy, Ronnie, man. We got some serious problems in America right now.
Absolutely. And the protests linking Biden and Trump as the same is very misguided because they're not the same. But he protesting probably the conditions that are available for him in the United States of America right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's dismal and he's going to an extreme.
You know, this is how the Arab Spring started in Tunisia and Iran.
Yeah, I know.
Remember, we were members of the Senate at the time in 2011.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And we heard about this man, this educated man selling fruit. Could you imagine that, Doug Skoll? An educated man can't find no work. Selling fruit. And the authorities still bothering me. And he got to the point where he said, but wait, man. Are you ain't hiring me? I'm trying to make a little change to provide for my family, and you're still harassing me. What sense it make for me to live?
Yep. And then, Neville Rani, the question, and analyze this for me, and the table is, how did we get here?
That's right.
How did we get here? And, you know, through my political science training in the classroom, and I'm sure Rani was exposed to some of this during his career, is the variables that Adam, and we spoke about them before, Neville. How did we get here? And how did we get to a point where we have a former president accused of all of these crimes, right? And is still the presumptive nominee of the Republican Party. The question is asked, how did we get here? And the quote-unquote Republican Party that we deal with today is Trump, and their modus operandi really is to do what? Is to operate by fear.
Mm-hmm.
And the followers right now, believe it or not, you know, is grounded in this white supremacy concept and this construct, Neville, that was put in place way back then. And you know, I keep talking about the Ecumenical Council and all of this going back to that point in time when this construct was put in place. And as the great, when Bob Marley sang about Selassie, until the philosophy that holds one race superior and another inferior, there is going to be war. So this construct, Neville, that this guy came about is, the fact is, you made the point, the guy over there in the Arab Spring where he's educated.
Yeah, Tunisia.
Tunisia, right? He's educated and still can't find work. So in America, that construct is, this present party found a group of people who are struggling, right? And basically now what? Give them someone to hate. And that hate, right, is what is emanating in America, and they're hating on everybody else, right? Mm-hmm. So that they can contain the power and continue to control the power. The question, Ronnie, and you know, how did we get here? And that is where it is. Hate and fear that we are taking something from the quote-unquote majority in America. Everybody is taking something from them, and they're using that fear that is propelled by the leader of the pack, the gentleman who's in the courtroom this morning.
Yeah.
Right?
But check this out. There's a similarity with the situation in Tunisia and in and New York City. No, just a little, they're just a little different wrinkle, right, Ronnie? Yeah. Ronnie, I know that this hits home for you, Ronnie. Yeah. This man, right? Because I was looking it up. Once I saw his name and I googled it, I noticed that he has a LinkedIn profile, right? Ronnie and Ducks and the audience, this man has a Bachelor of Arts in Anthropology and Public Policy from the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, UNC, right? Uh-huh. And then, Ronnie, this coming close to you, he has a Master of City and Regional Planning, Technology and Urban and Community Development from Rutgers, the State University of New Jersey in New Brunswick. And you went to Rutgers in Newark, right, Ronnie? That's where you get a law degree from, right? In Rutgers?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So this man is educated. This man was 37 years old, man. And he felt inclined I'm not a doctor, so I'm not going to use paranoia. But his behavior, in my opinion, was extreme, right? Because the man doused himself with this repellent, whatever it was, and then lit himself a fire. Ronnie, I'm sorry. I can't subscribe to that type of thinking or behavior when you got this kind of education. And our children needed I want to make sure I say his name correctly, the Max Azzarellos of the world to educate them. But he felt that they're all the same. And you know what? Since Alem is the same, what sense it make for me to be here? Let me make a statement. Killing yourself ain't a statement to make, Ronnie. I apologize.
Yeah, you know, at the inception of the Vietnam War, a Buddhist monk did the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes people reach to a point where they can't accept humanity being so evil against humanity. And they reached to that point, and he reached to a point in America where there's an abundance of everything, food, everything. He can't accept, you know, that. And that difficulty, Neville, is what leaders have to confront. The Israeli assault on Hamas, Sudan, the world having real difficulties, and humanity itself got to look for, you know, a global warning, you know, these things real, and we as people that live on this planet, we got to think differently. And that moral decay that we spoke about, where, you know, you lose your morality, where a human being don't mean a human being no more. He's just a dog. Could deal with it, you know. And this kind of thing happening to people, and you could kill the people in Hamas like they don't exist. You kill the children, them, you know, something wrong. And I hope that some group could do a wake up call to humanity. I don't know what group it is.
But Ronnie, America got nobody to blame but themselves. If in 2024, Doc Skoll, Ronnie, and the audience, there are two options for president.
Absolutely.
Are 81 and 78 years old, respectively. I ain't knocking people with elderly.
You right.
I'm just calling a speaker.
Somebody can call them generation.
No. You know what I'm saying? It shows that folks are, and don't get me wrong, the 81-year-old loves the Virgin Islands. You know what I'm saying? We are beneficiaries of him being president and his sensitivity towards the VA. He brought in the last two New Years right here on St. Croix. You know what I'm saying? But if these are our options in 2024, at a time when we are asking for change, that's where the conflict takes place in Orani. Right?
Yep.
Because I'm sorry, elderly politicians are not synonymous with change. I don't care how you slice it, right?
Yes, and you know Neville, and you know Ducks and audience, you know, when you age, you should relegate yourself to counseling the young people and guiding them.
That's the failure there, Ronnie. You just hit the nail on the head,
yes.
Right? If they feel inclined to be seeking office at a time when they should be chilling, that means that they did not, or sufficiently, right, did not groom the successors. Or, in the instance of Donald Trump, he's not in the grooming business. It's all about me, right? And that's a problem. Doc Skoll, I pull up the story. Here's the deal. His name is Mohamed Bouazizi, right, who had been supporting his family by selling fruit from a cart. He was enraged when local officials repeatedly demanded bribes and confiscated his merchandise. After authorities refused to hear his complaint, he doused himself with gasoline and set himself alight. Doc Skoll, these are the extreme actions people feel from time to time they got to embrace to make a statement so people can understand. Life ain't easy out here, man. And it's one thing for me to try to feed my family, but it's the next thing for me to try to do that, and people want to take my money from me, man.
Well, Neville, what has happened, and we're talking about training the next generation. The problem with that right now with former President Donald Trump is that his behavior has become normalized. It's like the media have normalized the behavior of Mr. Trump.
But guess what? One of my listeners just texted me and asked me the same thing. He said, well, let me talk about it here in the Virgin Islands, because some of our leaders are beginning to mimic the language that they're hearing. And basically what's going on here is we live in a copycat world, Doc School, right?
Yes.
Where when people see something working for somebody, let me try it, see if it can work for me. Even
that's where I was going with the youth, because the let's say the 16 to 20 year old young people in America, what have they matured into hearing what is going on with Donald Trump? And they believe now, and they might believe that this is the way to go. So what we are doing now is normalizing lying, cheating, corruption, violation of law, man becoming powerful unto themselves, and the copycat nebula you speak about. Well, this is how life in America is supposed to be. We're supposed to be like Trump.
But check this out, Doc School. And I want to ask Rani this, because you just touched on something when you used the word normalizing this type of behavior. Rani, when we were growing up, there were certain things that automatically disqualified you from being a candidate, right? Remember Gary Hart?
Yeah.
Back in the 80s, when they found out about his situation there and how he had to immediately resign from being a candidate. It looks like the more extreme you are now, Rani, the greater the appeal. So something is wrong as it relates to misinformation being way too powerful in America, Rani Russell.
Right. And, you know, the access to information from the internet makes it difficult to control what young people, especially young people who are impressionable, what they will follow. And we have in that problem, the internet has changed a lot of the dynamics of what should be normal.
Right.
And I hope it's just a passing moment in history that, you know, in a couple of years, we will go back to the very, you know, the things that mean it should be important, like a person's life, a person's property, the things that we feel
their commitment to community and society.
Yes, except things like that. I believe, and the internet gives these young people a false sense of importance, number one, and a false sense of pride in the wrong things.
But the key for us, though, right, is that we must always remember, and Doc School, we talk about is what Tip O'Neill said, right? All politics is local. Right,
yes.
And in embracing that, we got to make sure that this behavior isn't permeated locally to the point where it's undermining those people who want to get into the arena but don't engage in this type of behavior, believing that they can be a legitimate candidate because they don't behave like that.
Right.
We got to do something to deter this type of thing that's going on, right? Because at the end of the day, we want sound governance, man. At the end of this, that's all we asking for. And this ain't nothing sound about this, to a point where the educated young man, 37 years old, lights himself a fire in New York City out of protest for what's going on. Total chaos and mass confusion going on right now.
Hold on
right there. So we'll take a break right there. We come back and I'll come right to you when we come back. Be back right after this.
Bank of St. Croix has something for everyone. With two locations, the Bank of St. Croix provides personal and business checking accounts, online banking, and mobile apps for banking on the go, a nonprofit community investment checking account, and a 24-hour banking cash management platform. Bank of St. Croix, Gallows Bay, Bank of St. Croix, Peters Rest, and online, bankofstcroix.com. For details about our nonprofit community investment checking account, our service specialists are ready to help. Bank of St. Croix, member FDIC.
He said that black smoke was constantly coming out of the burn pits 24/7. And my reaction to it was like, wow, that doesn't sound very safe. I wonder what that's about. And in my mind, I couldn't imagine at the time that type of system operating could potentially harm our service members.
Journalism that seeks and reveals. That's On Point with me, Meghna Chakrabarty.
Weekdays at 1 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
Morning Edition takes you across this country and around the world with stories that keep you informed and the context to understand what matters. The news comes at you quickly, but we slow it down to examine each story from different angles and give perspective on what might happen next. A brand new day comes with new possibilities and a new edition of Morning Edition from NPR News.
Morning Edition, weekdays at 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.
You know a good story when you hear it. Makes you feel, laugh, think. Sometimes you get a little teary. I'm Scott Simon, host of Weekend Edition Saturday, and each week we bring you stories from around the country and around the world. Stories that help you learn, make you smile, catch you by surprise. Please join us every Saturday for the news you need and the stories you won't forget.
Weekend Edition, Saturdays at 9 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
And we're back here and analyze this. Doc Scholl, you wanted to reference something somebody said?
Yeah, I was just saying that the young lady who basically said that if Donald Trump doesn't win, that she's going to, you know, she's going to take her life.
Yeah.
So it has been elevated to that point where if I don't get my way and I don't get what I want, then I'm going to do something to me personally. And it's like you're doing something to me personally. When this thing is wider than just personal, it's throughout the nation. So does that mentality has already permeated that segment of American the American population?
Well, the real question is, this is to the audience, to you, Doc Scholl and Ronnie Russell. Ronnie, what happened to the Republican Party, man?
Well, that's the real problem.
Because the Republican Party was a great, great party once in a day, man. And it stood for small government and conservatism, right? And in this case now, we are seeing extreme behavior that is atypical of the Republican Party that we know. And we know it's all because of one person, right? And his, yeah, you know, his wanting power. And because he was not embraced on the Democratic side, well, let me go on the other side. And it's gotten to the point now where the Malcolm X slogan, the great slogan from Malcolm X, Ronnie Russell, coming to you now, by any means necessary, right? The Republican Party want power by any means necessary because you and I know 20, 30, 40 years ago, he would have never been embraced by the Republican establishment like he is now.
Absolutely. And that's the changing dynamic of the human psyche, which I think has been greatly influenced by too much information, the internet, and too much access to information, freedom of press and everything. And it's making, you know, people crazy. Really, that's what happened.
But Ronnie, let me don't sugarcoat it. And I know, Doc Scholl, you got to agree with me with this one, because we talk about this. This is about a reaction. This is racism, Ronnie. How dare America elect a black man in 2008 and 2012? And how dare he become so popular across the board? And we need to get it back to where it was prior to America being capable of electing a man of color to the highest office in the free world. And Doc Scholl, MAGA, Make America Great Again, is code language for, you know what it is, right? This is an NPR station, so I can't really go that far. But you know what that is, right? That's a euphemism for Make America Blank Again.
Neville, it seems as though we guys have you and I and Ronnie, we have synergistic energy and connection. Because that's where I was going when my turn came. Right?
This is racism going on here.
Neville, I'm going to say it as plain as that. White supremacy is the fuel for the Republican Party right now with Donald Trump at the top of the party. That's what it is. And we're gonna say, I'm gonna say it how I see it. That's the fuel. And Donald Trump, and you know, I don't really like to say that the man's stupid. The man understands, and he tapped into what I said earlier in the program, that you find people who are struggling in the community and then provide a mechanism of blame.
You tap into the weakness, man.
Yes, and the reason why you're struggling is because, you just say it, black people, people of melanin, melanated people have come to America and they're taking your job and they're raping your woman and they're doing all these things. That is the fuel, Neville, Ronnie, of the present Republican Party with Donald Trump at the helm.
Ronnie Russ, let me ask this question, though, because we like to brag in America about being, and when I say we, you know, we're American jurisdiction by extension. We brag about how great we have it and how, you know, liberty, give me debt, right? Give me liberty or give me debt, and we want freedom and all that stuff. But there comes a point where you have to start asking this question, Ronnie Russell. Is, how you say, is too much of one thing, right, bad for society, right? Where your civil liberties are getting to the point where you believe you could do and say whatever you want without penalty. And that creating a very dangerous dynamic, Ronnie Russell, in America now, man, where that internet that you're talking about, people just going on and saying things on social media. And if you don't have immediate fact-checking and people countering, it could spread like wildfire. And before you know it, it's out of control.
Yep. But, you know, the root of all evil, Neville and Ducks, remember, we could go back in time, is money.
Yes, sir.
You could go back.
The love of money.
Yeah, yeah. And so when the Supreme Court ruled that you could unlimited give to a candidate, you undermine the fundamental premise of democracy. Mm-hmm. And instead of people's, you know, the moral and the conduct and what they stand for count, how much money they could raise count more than that. So then, you know, that Supreme Court, listen, guys, Biden just need to pack the Supreme Court and get the last change. Done with it.
But that's the only way we're going to get a change. That's the only way we're going to, because I told you guys, for me, the court system is the most powerful branch in government when you have this stalemate in Congress.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
and so you got to pack the court and get back to balanced approach.
Absolutely.
Not the extremes, Neville, that we see now. A balanced approach. Overrule those laws that in unlimited money. Get back to civil rights where voting is important. And get back to the fundamental basis of how the democracy was formed. Although it was formed with some problems, it's a good structure. It had some problems from the beginning, okay? But it's it's an improved structure to the monarchies that they were coming from. And the Constitution is a good model, you know, so that we got to go back. And the only way to do it is get a Supreme Court, pack the Supreme Court, Biden winning again, the Senate becomes Democratic, and the House of Representatives is Democratic, and then we have a brighter future for America. That's how I think.
But check this out. Check this out, right? On Friday, I believe it was. Either Friday or Saturday. They had a vote that went down in Congress to provide aid for Ukraine.
Yes. Right?
Now, I mean, we've seen it all now, you know, Ronnie.
Yeah.
Right? The Republican Party used to be the party that used to say that Putin is the worst, and Russia and Soviet Union is the worst thing on earth. Ronald Reagan said, Gorbachev, tear down that wall. And now you have Republicans who are siding with Putin.
Yep.
Just because Trump is good with Putin. Not realizing, Doc Skoll, that Trump is good with Putin for financial reasons because he got his big hotel in St. Petersburg or Moscow, wherever it is.
Neville.
And trying to paint it like we got ideological differences when in fact this is about blind support. And you and I know, right? That blind anything. And my father used to say, right? My father used to tease me, he used to say, love is blind, right? Right? When you fall in love and it's blindingly impactful, you can't see the faults. And Neville, look, America, they're in a bad state right now. Regardless of who wins, America's struggling.
Neville and Ronnie, right? America has never lost, quote-unquote, democracy, right? And somehow they believe that they're not going to lose democracy because we had Trump in his first term who tried to put in place the parameters of moving out democracy. Nevertheless, a paper the Republicans have called 2025,
right?
Lays out the framework of returning, of getting away from democracy and moving to autocracy. In a Trump second term, Neville, what they put in place in the first term is going to come to fruition. So America and Americans would want to understand what America is going to be like without the democratic process. Check out one over in Turkey. Now here in the Caribbean, Neville, our nation.
Turkey or Hungary?
Hungary,
yeah. I make that mistake sometimes too. And all that kind of mix it up. Yeah, it's Hungary. Yeah. Viktor Orban or something in name. Yeah.
Yeah. And in Haiti right now, the lack of democratic principles and government that is going on is creating havoc and has created havoc. They had democracy and they've lost it. In America, Neville, speaking political science lens, right? That we've never lost democracy, and they don't believe Trump was in and nothing happened. But what they don't understand, Neville, Ronnie, is that the blueprint is in place. Roe v. Wade, how long was the Republicans and these Right for Life people been working on Roe v. Wade? And they were able to sack the court when these nominees went before the Senate Judiciary Committee and lie about settled law, right?
Yes. Hold on. Don't forget, you know, we have an obligation to educate the public. Stara decisis.
Right?
Roddy, that's your Latin thing, right? You didn't do that, right? Stara decisis.
Yes.
Settled law.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. So the mechanisms and the blueprint is in place to take democracy, and who's at the helm? Trump is at the helm,
but check this out.
Continue the power, you know.
But check this out, Doc Skoll, and I could be in the minority. I could be wrong, right? But I believe that once this trial starts and the evidence starts to come out, because they got a lot of things that we don't know about yet, you know, right, Ronnie?
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Typically, there are things that the DA will hold back because he wants to present it. Right? As a matter of public record. Right? And there's a reason why Trump tried to get his case dismissed on three consecutive days appealing rulings left and right is because he knows that once this thing becomes public, if one or two diehard Republicans stand up and say, we can't got he representing we, then that's going to create crazy internal turmoil on the red side, and it done existing already with this Ukraine vote. And this vote in the House, Ronnie, last week, you had the Speaker of the House cut a deal, and he's a Trump loyalist, and he cut a deal with something happened, Ronnie Russell.
He and his son go to war.
Ronnie, break down that dog school nugget there for me, if you will.
Come back to your personal life and what it might affect. And all of a sudden, war is bad. because his son might go to the war.
Hear it there?
So, yeah, and that's how a lot of people will shape up. When they get in touch, when you're touching the money or the family, then it comes different. Everything changes. You're touching the money or the family, everything changes.
Wow.
And that is part of it. Hey, listen, and human beings are not different nowhere.
No. That's a good crystallizing point there, Ronnie. All of we are human.
Yes.
And once something hit close to home,
yeah,
the whole focus change, man.
Change.
Wow.
The man who born himself, he couldn't support his family no more. And how could you relegate a human being who got the children and his wife and everybody, and he can't support them? You're degrading him to nothing.
But check this out, right? When we look at this and we bring this thing back home to the Virgin Islands, we really got it good here in the Virgin Islands, or no? Duck School and Ronnie. And we need to start appreciating how good we got it and make it stronger, make our fiber much more stronger. Because our being detached is a blessing in disguise. Yes. There's a cost of living dynamic because we can't really connect and the grid and it impacting everything because energy costs drive everything. But as an American jurisdiction where people of color is the majority, Doc School, we need to start looking at it through that prism and maximizing, you know, our assets and our potentials instead of wanting to cut each other down. That's our biggest problem.
I absolutely understand that, and we need to find a way to get it done here. But I just wanted to interject here, Ronnie, with the jury selection in America. You know what this is reminding me of? You guys remember O.J. Simpson at O.J. Simpson trial?
Yeah.
When Marsha Clark selected 8 black women to be on a jury, and I believe I ain't going into a mine, and it's a Latin word. Or mens rea, right?
Mens rea. Yeah.
I went into a mens rea, right? Yeah. But I believe at that point, you'd be like, O.J. Simpson is accused of killing this white woman and these black women are going to bring him in guilty, right?
No, but keep in mind, right, that we're going to a break. It was because O.J. was painted as selling out the black community.
Yes.
You check what I'm saying?
That's what I'm saying. I know I'm going to get a bunch of us, but I'm saying, when we look at the Donald Trump...
The makeup of the jury? Yeah.
The makeup of the jury and the construct that he might be found innocent, like O.J. Simpson was, right?
Mm-hmm.
But O.J. Simpson became a pariah, and he's going to become a hero on the same construct. That is the dynamic that I'm looking at as the jury, because, Ronnie, you selected juries before. Somebody on that jury... could be lying.
Happens.
That's the problem I have with it.
It has happened before.
Yes.
It could happen now, and it will happen again. That's a fact. We take a break, pick up the discussion right there when we come back on the table talk. In tactical effect this morning, Doc School and Ronnie Russell joining me. Almando Rocky Labrador is excused. Be back right after this.
America. Our great continent is split in half by a giant sea. How did it shape the creatures who lived?
A 14-foot-long fish
in Kansas.
And died here. The amazing connection between life and our land. Making North America on Nova.
Tune in April 24th at 10 p.m. on WTJX TV Channel 12.
Race is complicated. On Code Switch, we don't dumb it down for you.
And on Life Kit, we have advice on everything from money to mental health.
It's Code Switch and Life Kit from NPR.
Saturdays at 2 p.m. on WTJX FM.
I love this song!
I
I love nachos.
Loving everything? You might be buzzed.
You know what I'd love? A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzz warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Weekday mornings are a juggle, sometimes even a struggle. Morning Edition from NPR News eases you into your day and keeps you company through the chaos of a busy morning. Hear interviews that give you context on the day's biggest stories, along with reporting and updates on the latest breaking news. Stay on top of the world with Morning Edition every weekday.
Morning Edition, weekdays at 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.
Join us on an Amazon River voyage to romance with a brand new couple, an older cantankerous couple, and the great opera diva Florencia Grimaldi in search of the lover she lost. It's the Met premiere of its first Spanish language opera in 100 years, starring the acclaimed Eileen Perez and conducted by Yannick Nezet-Séguin. Look for Daniel Catan's magical Florencia en el Amazonas on great performances at the Met.
Tune in April 25th at 9 p.m. on WTJX-TV Channel 12.
And we're back here at Analyze This. Of course, you know, here on this show, you know, we don't recognize everything. We got today's a table talk. Good morning, Doc Skoll, and good morning, Ronnie Russell. Glad to have
good
you.
Morning,
you
morning. Good morning.
Right?
Morning. Hey, morning.
Gentlemen, today is the first day of Passover, you know. This evening. Let me make sure I'm going to read this. The first Passover Seder, right? Even though it's spelled S-E-D-E-R, right? And when I saw it, I said, you know something, let me go look to see how you pronounce this one, because I don't want to make no mistake, right? So I went on Google and it says Seder, right? The first Passover Seder is on the evening of Monday, April 22nd, which is today. And the second Passover Seder takes place on the evening of Tuesday, April 23rd. It said Passover 2024 begins at sundown on Monday, April 22nd, and ends on the evening of Tuesday, April 30th, for most Jews in diaspora, right? So that's an eight-day deal. Jews in the land of Israel and some Reformed Jews in diaspora will end Passover on the evening of Monday, April 29th, which is 7 days away, right? And they said, so they asked the question, what is Passover? He said, it commemorates the Israelites' exodus from Egypt and their transition from slavery to freedom. The main ritual of Passover is the Seder, which occurs on the first night in Israel, just the first night of the holiday, a festive meal that involves the retelling of the Exodus through stories and song and the consumption of ritual foods, including matzah and maror, right? M-A-R-O-R, right? So just want to let it, Rabbi Feshback, I know he ain't with us no more in the VA. I think he's in Maryland now. And to all of the Jewish community who listen to Analyze This and live here in the Virgin Islands, I mean, we recognizing your ritual Passover that runs from today until next week, Tuesday. Now, to actually, you know, bring it back into what we're dealing with, this discussion we have, Ronnie, one of my listeners texted me earlier. And it spoke of why people like Max Arizona, whatever his name was, did what he did. Netanyahu going through a corruption trial in Israel, Rani. and are you laughing, right? And their belief is that this war serves as a distraction and a deterrent to potentially bringing him to justice.
Absolutely.
And you got innocent people dying throughout the whole region. It ain't just limited to Palestine, which where the majority, 95% of the genocide is taking place. You know, you got Iran attacking Israel defending themselves, the Iron Dome doing its job. And but Ronnie, you were the one who actually, you know, got me to look at this thing the way it is, you know. War is all they know. War is all they know, Ronnie, man.
Yeah. The truth is, Neville, he's a crook, and he's not a good person, Netanyahu. And the Israelis know that. That's why they bring him up on charges. And the Israelis can't muster that support right now because he's the leader of the country. And Trump did it. And all Netanyahu following is Trump. And there's a group of leaders in Hungary, there's a group of leaders, Putin, that really don't believe that they should lead to the benefit of the general population. They believe they should lead because they themselves need aggrandizement and they're only looking out for themselves. Netanyahu is one, Putin is one, the Hungary leader, and Trump. And there's other leaders across the globe that are following that that prescription.
So we got to
be careful.
I like that term you use because it doesn't say blueprint, but you're right. It's like a medicine with them, man. It's a prescription.
Yes,
right.
It's a prescription.
And check this out, Docs. We had a major protest in Tel Aviv last week, man. Right? Thousands of Israeli demonstrators took to the streets on Saturday to call for new elections and demand more action from the government to bring the hostages held in Gaza home in the latest round of protests against Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, which pretty much they're saying, we know that you're a part of this sham.
Yes.
What's going on now is a sham. And there's a percentage of the population that is telling him publicly, you killing our own for your own personal benefit, man.
Exactly.
Listen, the gentleman, God bless his soul, who lit himself on fire, was basically saying they're all members of the same gang.
Yes, sir.
They're members of the same gang, and Ronnie pointed that out. You got the rocket man down in North Korea, you know. Have all of these individuals who want to be dictators, and that's where democracy needs to be protected. Because if we lose, I have to keep saying it, gentlemen, America have never lost democracy. It started out, quote unquote, as a democratic society, and it has never lost that. And they're working on a blueprint to take democracy away.
It ain't gonna happen. It can't happen, Docs. It can't happen in America for one reason. The access to weapons in America is a whole different ballgame from any other country, my son.
Well, I like that, Neville.
I tell you.
Well, then it's
going to
be a civil war, then.
Yeah, it's going to be something. It ain't going to be civil. It ain't going to be civil, though, but it's going to be a war.
It ain't going to be civil.
Right?
Right.
Check this out, because I'm reading this from Reuters, and I wanted to go ahead and read this. It says, surveys indicate that most Israelis blame Netanyahu for the security failures that led to the devastating attack by Hamas fighters on communities in southern Israel on October 7th. Israel's longest-serving prime minister has repeatedly ruled out early elections, which opinion polls suggest he would lose, saying that to go to the poll in the middle of a war would only reward Hamas. But let me quote somebody who was at that protest in Tel Aviv. Quote, we're here to protest against this government that keeps dragging us down month after month. After October 7th, we keep going down in a spiral, said Yalan Pickman, 58, who attended a march in Tel Aviv. And they go into the details of what has happened since then. 253 people killed, 250 people seized, 1,200 people killed on October 7th, and then in the counter offensive, 34,000 Palestinians have been lost as a result of this. And you know, it's really wild to think that a leader of his people would go to the extreme of allowing a conflict so that could serve as a masking device for self-preservation, because, you know, his court case were coming up. And his real thing, Ronnie, was to revamp the judiciary to satisfy his needs, right?
But Trump did it, yes.
And exactly, right? But look at Trump now, Ronnie Russell, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Claiming, yes. Well, I don't know about this abortion thing. Last year he was bragging, I killed Roe v. Wade. Ronnie, at some point, The people need to reject people who lack consistency and flip-flop, man. This is a this is an indictment on America and Iran.
Of course. And the truth is, you know, are we going to recover? I'm an optimist. And I believe this election is going to change the dynamic of American politics significantly. Because Trump sinking the Republican Party, and it ain't all Republicans thinking like him, for sure. They just going along with the wave because they can't do better. When my grandmother used to say, when you can't
I know that slang.
Never mind.
Yeah.
When you can't do better, you say never mind.
Yeah.
Okay? And the actual what is happening in American politics is like a metamorphosis. We changing dynamic, and the young people will have to step up because Biden old, Trump old, we might be considered a generation done, but the truth is there is value in age and experience that needs to come to the forefront to guide these misguided young people that are killing people and doing all kind of craziness in St. Croix and St. Thomas, okay?
Rani.
And we need to come together as a team. The old guiding and advising the young making bold moves to make changes. I feel that that's the way we got to go.
Right, the difference with me, you, and Ducks, as opposed to Trump, is we could take lose.
Yes.
Trump can't take lose. If he lose, it was rigged, it was this, it was that. Them there is the worst kind of people, my brother. The worst.
This is carnival.
Because they will drag people down. Yeah, this is carnival. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Let me tell you, the song I want to when they have power
and authority,
yes, sir. They don't give a damn yes, about nobody.
Yes, sir.
Prostituting the island.
Yes, sir. The mighty Shachot, man. Yes, sir.
Shachot, Netanyahu have power. Trump had power and he wants to continue to hold on to power, as you said, by any means necessary.
Mm-hmm.
And Trump's behavior has become normalized. And Rani, I have a view in terms of the young people. If they're believing that how Trump is behaving is where it's going to be, he is adding fuel to the fire.
We got to truly empower them, though. But we got to empower them, Ducks.
Yeah.
We really got to empower young people. Now.
Yeah.
We can't have them thinking, well, you're 25 and you're 30, and we've deemed you, you've proven that you're a brilliant young man. But you got to wait till 50 to be in a position of power. That can't work, man.
I'm agreeing with you.
I'm agreeing with you. Yeah. I'm like your favorite term. I'm buttressing what you're saying, young man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. We got to empower them from now. Mm-hmm. Let them be a part because this notion, right? I'm sorry. Look, I'm a big Biden supporter. Everybody knows that, right? I like the fact that he loves the Virgin Islands. That's an asset because I'm a Virgin Islander through and through, right? But he is 81 years old. I can't, even as, to me, right, legislatively, Rani and Ducks and the audience, he has accomplished more legislatively than a lot of the most recent presidents combined, right? You can't deny that, right?
Right.
The legislation speaks for itself. You know, what's going on with respect to building back our infrastructure, the CHIPS bill, all these different things, you know, manufacturing, it's all well and good, right? But legitimately, you can't dock somebody for saying, yo, man's 81 years old. We got to be real.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't knock it. You know what I'm saying? No, I know one thing. Once you're the president, you're going to get the best medical and health care that you ever want in your life, right? Because they're around you and they're checking your vitals on a daily basis and you're good and all that. But That argument is a legitimate argument, and it's unfortunate because we shouldn't be prejudicial against age, but that's just the human being and the human reality here in America.
No, the reality might come after he wins. And I'm sure that after he wins, he's going to do the succession planning that's needed for America.
Well, we need that.
And, you know, and I'm sure, but...
You know what the biggest problem is, Ronnie? After January 6th, there weren't any true penalties for the person who perperpated that fraud.
And the Supreme Court is weighing in on that now.
Oh, that's right. So, that's right. We got oral arguments this week, right?
Yeah, because
he literally believed that he was immune to do whatever he wants to do as president. This is crazy.
Neville, I like that one. And Doc, the only thing we could rely on is the vote.
Yes, sir. And that's all we got, Ronnie.
That's all we got. And we got to support Biden and Kamala Harris and, you know, and just suppose they win. What is the succession planning the Democrats have in mind for taking this country forward and the young people?
We also got to cross the aisle, Rodney, because this thing can't happen on one side alone.
One side of the aisle.
No.
You can't. And you know something? We need the independents to play a bigger role and have some more say, right? Because people, you know, the real issue that we're dealing with now is people are fed up with the status quo as it relates to the two-party system dominating the political landscape. That's the real issue right now. And the problem is the independents, even though they're influencing elections, they don't know how to come together to provide that legitimate third option. Who is going to be the John Anderson of this decade? Remember John Anderson ran for president back in 1980, right?
Yes.
We need that.
You know, Neville and Doc, we have the same problem here.
Yes, sir.
We need.
Oh, well,
okay.
Our party is numerically too big and too dominant.
And
Neville and Johnny, I know we run out of time, but I just wanted to say that and Biden, I agree with you guys on Biden. Biden's policy in terms of putting people on the court, right, at the lower court system, right?
Oh, that's another feather in his cap. Another feather in his cap. You're right.
Yeah. And in terms of it's diversity, putting people there who didn't go to Harvard and as white
Yale, Dartmouth, Princeton.
Princeton's wrong. He's putting people at the lower court level, right? And that's where that change, Randy, that we're talking about is going to take place.
It's going to take time, but the young people want action now, and they deserve it. And I'm going to leave it at that. Hey, great conversation today. Phone blow up today, Aldi, man. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
All right, big brother. You're give good. Thanks and enjoy, man.
Without a doubt. And we want to tell the Jewish brethren, happy Passover. You know what I mean? And be good, be safe. It's Carnival in the Virgin Islands, baby. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
Human beings have been making music for tens of thousands of years. It brings us together. It has the power to communicate emotions and ideas. It's a profound part of the human experience. Hear the stories behind the music you love and new music you might fall in love with. I'm Raina Duris. Join me for in-depth interviews with artists who are continuing that musical history on World Cafe.
Weekdays at 10 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.
On Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, we are not afraid to stand up to the high and mighty like Jeff Bezos.
He had that big cowboy hat on. He looked like a shrink ray had hit Garth Brooks.
I'm Peter Sagal. Join me as we speak truth to power, at least until power agrees to buy us out, on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
Saturdays at 1 p.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m. right here on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.